In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What are you doing here? You can imagine that's what the tax collector overheard as people saw him coming into this holy place, the temple. A tax collector, one who dealt with the dirty money of those Gentile Romans that took over our country. He's as good as a traitor. He takes from us and gives to them. What right does he have to be here? How arrogant, how shameless of him to come into this place. Who does he think he is? Now, the tax collector didn't seem like he belonged there. But you know who did seem like he belonged there? That Pharisee. Now, it was common in those days for people to pray aloud when they prayed. And so you can imagine the people who witnessed the Pharisee coming in thinking, ah, yeah, he belongs here. They can even nod along with this prayer saying, yeah, thanks God for that we have people like him around. Thank God for all that he does and all that he gives. We need more people like him. And yet it was the tax collector who went home justified that day, while the Pharisee went home accursed, condemned. Jesus tells us this parable, tells it to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Jesus tells this parable to us because we need to hear it. And he embeds in this parable a warning, an example, and a promise. Let's look a little deeper. These two men come to the temple. Now, you remember the temple is the one place in Israel where God has put his holy name. That name by which his people have access to him and all of his blessings and all of his promises and all of his grace and all of his good. He put it on the temple. So that when the people wanted to know if God would answer their prayers, when they needed to know if he accepted them, if they were to belong to him, this is the place that they would come and receive that name, receive that blessing. Here, this physical place in Jerusalem. The temple was a place of sacrifice, of atonement, of prayer. And it was the place, since it was the place of God's presence, it was the place of holiness. There was even layers involved here, right? The Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant belonged, then the holy place, and then you go further out from there. So the closer that you got, the holier. The closer that you got to the spiritual center in the Holy of Holies, the closer you were to God himself. Keep that in mind. Now, both of these men come to the temple to pray, to encounter God. They knowingly come into his presence. And Jesus gives us this Pharisee as an example to us of what we should not do, of what we should beware of when we come into his presence. The Pharisees, you remember, had a reputation for being the good guys. They were the ones who shaped their lives so that they could be holy, so that they could please God, that they could keep not only his law, but this extra set of laws, this other standard that they held themselves to make sure that they were God-pleasing in their sight. This Pharisee comes into the temple. And he's standing there by himself and praying out loud, you get the impression, so that everyone else can hear. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6? When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who go and stand on the street corners and pray loud and long prayers. I tell you, they have received their reward. That gives us a clue. Another translation of what the text says here is that this Pharisee, not just standing by himself, prayed, but this Pharisee standing, prayed to himself. You see, what the Pharisee is doing, whether he realizes it or not, is that he is erecting another altar in this place. He is erecting another idol in this temple. an idol to himself, an altar upon which others are sacrificed to proclaim his own self-righteousness. Consider his prayer. God, I thank you, you've not made me like other men. I'm special. I'm holy. I'm above all the rest out there. I am God's gift to mankind. I'm glad you haven't made me like other people. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. Now consider what each of those things is. What is an extortioner? Someone who tries to get something out of you through force, through leverage. But what is he trying to do? He's trying to force God, to obligate God, to give him blessing, to give him good by his actions, by his works. He's trying to extort God. So it turns out he is like other men. He says, I'm not like one of these other men, these unjust men. But what is he doing? By saying he's not like other people, he is taking all of those other men around him, all of those other people whose sins are maybe a bit more obvious, and he's piling them up so that he could stand on top, so that everyone can see him, so that he can put that altar of himself, that idol of himself, at the very top for all other people to see and see how much better he is. Look at me. Is it just to build your own good on the backs of others? No. He says, I thank God that I'm not like these other men, adulterers. Now, we don't know if this man was married or not. We don't know how he looked at other women. But we do remember in the Old Testament how adultery was often used as an image of spiritual betrayal of our God. Israel was the Lord's bride, and whenever she turned her back on him in faithlessness and chased after some other god, she was declared a harlot, an adulteress. This man is doing the very same thing in his own heart. He's not there to pray to God, not Yahweh, not the Lord of Israel. He's there to pray to himself. And so an adulterer he is. Thank God you've not made me like other men, but he's made like every other man. He is an extortioner. He is unjust. He is an adulterer, and he's even like this other guy, this tax collector, a sinner. Sinner, far from God's presence, far from God's grace, and with his words and actions, he is running even further. He then builds on this monument to himself. Look at all the things that I've done. I fast twice a week, right? More than what's required. I give a tenth of all that I get, even down to the little herbs in the garden. Look how wonderful I am. Look how much I give to the church. Look how much I offer of myself. Aren't I wonderful? Now, what does this Pharisee ask of God in his prayer? Nothing. It's almost like this man is coming to offer himself, offer God a proposition. Saying, God, yes, you're wonderful and all, but you could use me in your pantheon. Let's set up an idol to me in the way so that other people can do my will while they're here, so that other people can look and see how righteous and wonderful I am alongside you. You're good, but I'm more important. He asks nothing of God. He doesn't consider that he needs forgiveness. He doesn't consider that he needs grace. And so he will receive none. This is a warning to us. We can look at the Pharisee and say, oh, thank God you haven't made me like this man. This Pharisee. Look at how blind he is to his own sin. But how often do we give excuses to ourselves? Oh, I'm not a gossip. I only speak the truth. Oh, I'm not being selfish. I just have my priorities straight. I'm taking care of myself. Oh, I'm not being cruel to others. I'm not being arrogant in my dealings with them. I just know that I'm right. I'm not neglecting the holy things. I'm just busy. We excuse ourselves. And when we are desperate to then prove that we still deserve God's blessing, we say, well, at least I'm not like that guy over there. So give me a break. What was that Pharisee doing in God's temple? What are you doing here? If you are here to exalt yourself, to put another notch in your belt, to prove to everyone else that you're a good person by coming to church and doing the right thing, you were here for the wrong reason. If you are exalting yourself in any way, you will be humbled. God will not tolerate any idols to stand in his temple. All of them will come crashing down. That's a warning to us. Now consider the other guy that comes in, the tax collector. Like I said, tax collectors were universally reviled in Israel because they worked with the Gentiles, and because they worked with Gentiles and Gentile money, they were unclean. They couldn't come all the way into God's presence as they were, unless they were cleansed. And furthermore, they were considered traitors to the nation, as the people of Israel imagined it. But that kingdom was long gone. And notice that being a tax collector in and of itself was not an evil thing. When the tax collectors came to John the Baptist and received the baptism for the forgiveness of sins, right, and repented of their sin, they asked him, "What shall we do?" He just said, "Do your job and do it well. Don't defraud others." He didn't tell them not to be tax collectors. So, people's evaluation of this tax collector is already off kilter. He comes to this temple and people know who he is, right? The Pharisee was able to point him out, that tax collector over there. He comes to the temple even knowing that others will revile him, even knowing that he doesn't really belong there, but not because he's a tax collector, but because he's a sinner. But he comes anyway, because he's not here for them. He comes in and it says he was standing far off. Now remember, the closer you were to that spiritual center, the holier the place. So this man comes in humility. You can imagine him kind of slipping in the door and keeping his back up against the wall. "I don't really belong here, God. But you're the only hope I have." He doesn't raise up his eyes to heaven. He doesn't presume even to look God in the face, but he beats his breast. That's what you do when you're grieving. And he says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He has nothing to offer this Lord but his wretched heart. He makes no deals. He doesn't present himself to everyone else. He comes in humility because he knows that God is the only one who can save him. The only one who can give him what he needs. And if this God is who he says he is, who he has proved himself to be throughout the whole history of Israel, the God of redemption, the God of mercy, the God who atones for his people, who receives them despite their sin, then maybe he'll receive me too. You see, he was a sinner who knew he was a sinner because he trusted God's word at what it said. And so he was a sinner who went home forgiven. Because that's who the God of Israel is. That's who your God is. Not one who pushes sinners away because they're not good enough, but the God who calls them to himself so that they may be forgiven. Because penitent sinners belong with him. Now, I tell you that to tell you this. There may be days when you don't feel you belong here. When all that's in front of your eyes is your unworthiness, your shame, your faults, your evils. And people walking in may see you smile, but you know that that's just a mask. God knows the truth. What are you doing here? You belong here. And you belong here because Jesus calls you here. Jesus had the audacity to receive tax collectors and sinners, to share a table with them. He had the audacity to call them into God's holy presence and bring them all the way to himself, where he could swallow their sin, take their shame upon himself, and bear it to the cross to atone for them. Jesus is that new and true place of God's presence in our humanity. No longer the temple, but here. He calls sinners to himself that he might touch them, that he might absolve them, that he might give them life and show them that they belong with him forever. That's the point of the temple and the sacrifices and everything that went on in the Old Testament. It was to point to exactly this, that you belong with Jesus, that in him you are no longer a sinner, but a child of God. In him you are justified. That's the point of what Jesus then said in the very next section, and when people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples tried to keep them away, oh, they're not good enough, they're not worth your time, they don't need you. No, no, bring those children to me. Furthermore, if anyone does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, he shall not enter it. We only receive a kingdom. We can't take it, we can't earn it, and if we try to do so, we're coming up to God, the gates of God's kingdom, as invaders. It will not go well for us. No, we receive it as our inheritance, as our home, as the place we belong, like all of these little children. So what are you doing here? You belong here. You belong with Jesus. And here is your home forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.